For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burnt in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. If we be seated, and if you had your Bibles this morning, you could turn to our portion. It's taken from Luke chapter 15, a well-known portion of God's word. Two verses for us this day, on a day which the world tells us that this is the most miserable day of the year for people. Miserable because they've got to pay their Christmas bill, miserable because it's winter, miserable because of broken resolutions. This is the miserable day. You may come here today and you may be a mixture of emotions. People are. We go through life, and when we go through life, we run the gauntlet of various experiences which can make us high and can make us low. Do you know, it can be that someone can be here this day and know of grief and of sorrow and of loss and being bereft, and yet you've come to worship God, and in that worship, even though you experience those things, you can also know of joy, joy mixed with one's grief. I'll give you an example. There is a house, perhaps in Narberth this day, which knows of the loss and the grief of a loved one, and they also know of a new birth, even within a few days, and the mixture of emotions they've got in that very house. And as you've come here today, you may not feel on top of the world, but I want you to consider that there's something that you may experience in your heart of a joy which would be pleasing to God. Now, when we make a prayer, there's a prayer that we pray, and it's this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why I want us to look at these two verses. Now in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And verse 10, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, well, perhaps that could be fulfilled today in this, that what takes place here on earth, here in Bethesda, will also have meaning in heaven, and what's happening in heaven will also take place on earth. We don't realize that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he reveals to us. He reveals to us great things about life, but he also reveals to us great things of heaven. And one of the great things he reveals is the close connection between heaven and earth. Although you may think there's a great separation, yet heaven impinges upon earth, and earth can impinge upon the things of heaven. You read the book of Revelation, and you say, what does the book of Revelation speak about? It speaks of things happening in heaven which take effect here on earth. And now you find here the Lord Jesus speaking in Luke chapter 15 gives us an insight of what's happening in heaven over one sinner who repents. Now I want you to realize this day that what you do in your life will have eternal significance. The things that you do or don't do can either bring displeasure to God or could bring pleasure to him. We read a list of things which bring him great displeasure. Heaven is not disconnected, which is happening in this world today. But there's also things that you could do that then would bring the great joy then unto him. And I want you to think upon that this morning, of what it is that we could possibly do, as we thought last week, that would be pleasing unto God, a God who is holy and we who are sinful. And you find it here in these two verses. And what you feel and the emotions that you have will be perhaps the best indicator of where you are in relationship to God, to the things unseen, to the things of heaven. And you find it here then in this chapter, chapter 15. What happens is this, that there are very religious people, first of all, who have got the wrong emotions and have got the wrong attitude. You find it there in verse 1 and verse 2. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And these religious people, when they saw sinners coming to Jesus, instead of being thrilled in their hearts, they murmured and they complained. And although they were very religious, we know that they prayed at least three times a day. We know that they fasted twice a week. We know that they give tithes of all that they possessed. We know that they did those good works, but their hearts betray them. That when the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth and sinners came to him, they mourned and complained in their spirit. And you know that is a great indicator of where our heart really lies. If you're someone today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you feel your sin and you know your wrongness, I got the wonderful news for you that the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. He receives all kinds of sinners who have committed all kinds of sin. There's not a druggie, there's not a drunkard, there's not a debauched person who Jesus Christ does not welcome when they come to him. Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, knows what heaven is, comes down to this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And you see what happens is that when these now come and murmur against those coming to him, he has something to say. Look, I assure you today, you come to Jesus Christ and it is the greatest and best experience you can ever know. You can know of the forgiveness of your sins, pardon with God, a life made clean. You can know what it is to be filled with the joy and the glory of heaven itself. And you'd have to be, wouldn't you? Because the human heart, the religious human heart, is twisted and sick, that would despise someone such blessing. And what then happens in this little section is that Jesus speaks to them in Luke chapter 15, three parables. In verse 3, he speaks to them then the parable of the lost sheep. And every one of us can enter in to it, or may not be shepherds, but I don't know. Have you ever lost any? Of course you have. And you know your experience. You know, I lost today, you know, my glasses. And the moment of panic, where were those glasses? Only to find they were in my hand. And what happens is you think it's all of a sudden, and the anxiety that you get when things are lost. You lose a wallet and then you don't know where to find it, and everything goes through your mind. Where have you been? Where was the last time you had it? Was it in the street? As a thief picked it up? Have they taken my credit cards? All those things happen. And Jesus tells the story of a shepherd who loses a sheep, and they would understand this. For a shepherd to lose a sheep in a wilderness and it's gone, and he looks around, and that's an income, and that's precious to them. What direction would you go? And the shepherd knows, unless it is found, it will perish. It's in danger and it won't live. And the shepherd, because as the shepherd goes out and he searches it. And then you find what happens, because it was in a desperate state. Verse 5, and when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbours, saying, rejoice with me. Now, no matter what you may have lost in life, and no matter how many times you've kicked yourself and you've cursed or whatever you may have done, when you find whatever you've lost, you're happy. You're happy. All those other thoughts, how silly and foolish I was, you're happy. And now the shepherd comes, and the other shepherds would understand this. The sheep could no longer walk. Takes it up and carries it on the shoulders and brings it home. And calls then. And they know the dangers the shepherd has been in. They know how far he must have travelled and the chances of bringing the sheep back alive. And then look, he comes, rejoice with me. Now that's a great parable. A parable is a story with a heavenly meaning. And it shows us of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Now that Jesus Christ has come into this world. And you know what he's come to do? He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know what else he's come to do? He's come to take us home to glory. He's come to bring us back to our Heavenly Father. And that which was lost is now found. And it's a place, is it not, of great rejoicing. Who else would not rejoice? And when you think of a sinner, a human being, made in God's image, coming to Jesus Christ and being found by him, that should thrill your heart. Look, I've been in chapel and church long enough, and you know it's almost a disappointment to some that people come into a place of worship. I mean, they're distraught sometimes that the church could actually be growing. And you think, what's it all about? It's something wrong in our heart and our thinking. It's a great indicator. I'll give you a story. In ministry, you come to a point and you think nothing will shock you. Because we as human beings, we really are We're like sheep which go astray. There is no path a person could walk down. And I come to the end and I think, no, there's not anything that's going now to shock me of what people will do in one's life. We can go wrong in so many parts. But this did shock me. It was of a minister, of an evangelical minister who preached the gospel for over 30 years, known as an evangelical and a Bible believer. And then what happens is one day someone becomes a Christian who they know, and they cut them off. And they refuse to speak to them. I was shocked. For all the man believed, of knowing what that man now experienced, of Christ filling their hearts, of the joy of heaven coming into the soul, of a sinner saved from hell, never to speak to them again. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it, of where that heart really is. Could I just say to you today, if there was any, but what would make you happy today? Would it not be this? For those of you with children, would it not be that when you get from this place, you have a phone call and someone says to you, Father, Mother, I got news for you. I've become a Christian. And you would be thrilled. And it would thrill your heart because you know all that that means for them. And it means of their destiny. And is there not anyone here this day that if you were only to hear that confession of someone in a place of worship who says, look, I got news for you. I've not only come to church, but I've come to Jesus Christ. And I've come to him, I found him. And what happens is this, is that that person knows what it is, that the sins they committed, it's like the burden's taken from them. The shame has gone. The guilt has been eradicated. There's a freedom in their heart. They are one with God. There is joy which is unspeakable. Now that emotion is a great indicator of where you stand with God. It's a heart thing. It's what you feel. And you've got to know what you feel today. But you can do your religious deeds. We can have religious things. But Jesus knows that there's something fundamentally wrong. Because this is what it's like in heaven. I say to you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, let me assure you that this day God is pleased. Heaven is a happy place. He has joy to see his people worshipping him. But there is the moment when a sinner comes back to him and he says, oh, it's greater joy at that moment. Something for you to feel in your life. And you need to ask yourselves, do you feel it when sinners come to Jesus? But look, something else now. In verse 10, something for you to know. And this is interesting. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now remember, no one has ascended to heaven, but only he who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, who was in heaven. And he's revealed to us now what heaven is like. And as he's in this moment where sinners are coming to him, and the religious people are now against him, in your life, I assure you, there'll only be two real obstacles you'll have to coming to Jesus, the unbelief in your heart, and perhaps religious people who are around you. And Jesus comes then and he tells them, I want you to know what it's like in heaven. And it's like this, there is joy in the presence of his angels. Now, as I told you, this Bible reveals things to us about heaven and earth. It's very close. You may not realize it, but we're told that angels fill this place. Every child has a guardian angel which looks after them. which is before the Father's face. There are those which are ministering spirits which are sent out into the world for those of salvation. And in this book we find in Jesus Christ, he tells us about the angels of God. At Christmas we had the Christmas story, and there were many angels which are found at his incarnation. Angels from the realms of glory wing their flight over all the earth. They who sang creation's story now proclaim Messiah's birth. And then you find that the angels they're very present. They're present in the temptation. We know that there was the one angel who came to him in Gethsemane. There were no angels at Calvary. There was no one to help him there. When Jesus Christ went to die, there was not anything. He had to suffer alone. But when he came to the tomb, angels were there. And angels were there also to ascend him into glory. But you know, there's something you need to realize today. When he tells us, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Do you know this? That angels have no knowledge of repentance themselves. Not one angel that fell from heaven and a third fell has ever repented before God. Not one angel who fell from glory has ever made it back to the celestial city. One angel has never known of what it is to have received mercy. No angel knows that experience. And there's a reason for that. Because when God took on flesh, he did not take on the form of an angel, but he took on of our nature. And you know those angels. There is joy in the presence of the angels. But those angels never know the joy of mercy. Never know the word of forgiveness. I was only talking to someone this week, and they have an illness that other people have. And they were going through the symptoms with me, and I said, well, I know someone who has exactly what you've got. And they could tell you that it's like this, and it comes in periods, and it'll come again. You will get over it, but it will come back. And they said, I never experienced anything like it. I could empathize, but I really can tell you, I have no knowledge whatsoever of having that illness that they suffer from. It's a whole different ball game when you suffer from the same thing. And when it comes now to this statement, there is joy in the presence of the angels, you begin to think, well, what was that joy? The only thing I can think of is this, is that those angels who knew that the second person of the Trinity should become a man, and they watched him in his birth, in his temptation, in his struggle, in Gethsemane. Those angels who knew what it was to be sent to the tomb and then to carry him into heaven, into glory, is that these angels are also being sent for you today, ministering spirits to protect you and guide you and help you, that you may come to faith in Jesus Christ. And when someone comes to repent, perhaps it's the joy of the task they've had, which is then complete. I want you to think on this. There is joy in the presence of the angels. Because the Bible tells us that when people who are in Christ, they die, they're part of this great new Jerusalem, and they are saints and spirits which are made perfect. And could it not be this today, that in heaven today, there is the redeemed people of God, and they know what it is to receive mercy. And they know what it is to have their life changed and forgiveness given to them. There are those perfected saints, the saints who have died in the Lord. Do you know what they are? They're present with the Lord. They're in a heavenly place. And you know, I don't know what it's like, but could you picture this? That every moment, perhaps, or minute of the day, there is some soul which has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, is making their way into the celestial city. And when they make their way into the celestial city, there's another one which is added to the praise and the glory of God. And they must say what a wonderful place it will be. But I need you to listen carefully. The Bible doesn't say there is joy in heaven because another one is entering into glory. But there's joy in the presence of the angels. You know why? Over one sinner who repents. Because the one sinner who repents here on earth, the saints in glory, they know what that means. Those who've been redeemed know that the one who comes to Jesus, the one who turns from their sin, that moment a pardon from Jesus receives. They know their salvation is accomplished. They are certain there. They rejoice because of this. Not only because someone has said sorry, but they know the eternal destiny has been settled. They know that moment. They've come and entered the kingdom of his love. As the hymn writer puts it like this, oh, they're more joyful in heaven, but they're not more secure. And you can be sure this day that when those saints in glory, they look upon this world, we have a picture of it in Hebrews chapter 12, and there are moments, and it says, in the presence of the angels, because they know what that repentance means. You come to him to repent today, and your destiny is sealed in heaven. But just to take this thought a little bit further, because this is what the commentators think, because it does speak in the presence of the angels. And who dwells in the presence of the angels? You can find it in verse 18. You see, heaven is filled with God. It's a very word for God. In verse 18 of the same chapter, I will arise and go to my Father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against what? Heaven and before you. And this day, you can be assured that in the presence of the angels, the Heavenly Father, the Eternal Son, God's Holy Spirit, there is great joy which is in the Godhead. You can come to God this morning and you could know that heaven, well, we be filled with joy when you simply come and not even sing a hymn or even say a prayer or listen to a reading, but in your life you would just say sorry and you confess. And you come to him. I think there is more joy. Jesus said, or the scriptures tell us, for the joy which was set before him, he endured the cross. And he suffered the shame. God is filled with joy. And it was a plan and a purpose to save men and women. Now please listen. He desires. It brings him great delight. If I could give you a picture of the moon landing, and I was born. But what happens is on 1969. I don't remember it. But anyway, what happens is this: is you know, you got pictures of the spaceship landing, and you know, people, you know, and just being filled, you know, with, you know, clapping and excited. And when the space shuttle came back and they were dropped and people were delighted. And then you have a picture of what it was like in the room of NASA and those who were there involved in all that took place. There was joy in that room. Oh, they shouted to the rafters. Papers were flying. I tell you, there wasn't as much joy that was in that capsule with those three when they landed safely. And when it comes of that plan and purpose and Christ dying on that cross and the Holy Spirit coming into our lives and bringing us to the place where we come to God, there is joy that moment. It is salvation accomplished. Accomplished. It makes him happy. That's something for you to know. But there's something now finally for us to do. Just look at these words. Verse 7 and verse 10. Verse 7. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Verse 10. I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The third thing, something for us to consider. If you remember last week, we looked at what made God happy. And God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And you know, hear him. And what would make God happy is that his Son makes him happy. He delights in his Son. And what else could possibly delight him? It's this. It's when people like you and me, every one of us here, we know we're sinners, but we admit it, and we turn to him, and we come to him. It makes him happy. I don't know what you think about the church these days, but that word repentance is missing. And you just wonder, don't you? How much joy could be filled in heaven over places like this, which are filled with the raptures, but there is no mention even of repentance. And here you have the gospel. The gospel begins like this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom has come close. And it's a word which is essential. And you know, it's a word that God wants us to hear, and it's something that he is looking for in our lives, that we would bear fruit worthy of repentance. And of all that takes place in one's life, look, there's not much we could do possibly to please God, as you know. And I don't mean to you today, to simply say, oh, look, I want you to, you know, weep and mourn. Perhaps you will when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. It's not how great my repentance is, but there was a moment in one's life where you turn to God. That's repentance. Turn from the life you're living. Turn from those wrong things. Or just simply say to him, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. And I need you. Do you know, that, he tells us, that moment when someone makes this great confession, there is joy in heaven this day. I want you to think of that for anyone who is not a Christian here, first of all. But also this, even as a Christian, there is something that Jesus says to the churches in Revelation. And I want you to think upon it, because don't you want to do something that delights him? He speaks to the church at Ephesus and he says this: you've lost your first love. Repent. And you could do that this morning. He speaks to his church and he says, you loved me once, but you don't love me like you first loved me. You know, you need to repent. You know, he speaks to another church, a church which has gone the wrong way morally, and you've allowed all these things to come in. That's where we're living with this day, where a church will tell you that God simply loves everyone and everyone's going to heaven, but the Bible says something different. The Bible says you need to hear Jesus and you need to repent before him, that takes place. And he says, look, at that lifestyle you've chosen, could you not repent? Do you know what he says to another church? He says this, do you know the religious works you do? They're dead. They're dead. They've got no life. I'm calling you today to repent. To repent. And could you not say to God, Lord, I'm coming to you. My righteous works have been dead. Do you know, he speaks to another church which has gone wrong heretically with their teaching and what they're allowing. And Jesus comes to that church and he says to it, these things that you're teaching which are against my word, could you not repent? And the last one is this. He comes to a church that is lukewarm, lukewarm. He says, if you hear my voice, would you not repent? You say, oh, that's a tough message. But yeah, it may be tough, but could you not hear this? Hear the words of the Lord Jesus. When you do, there is joy in the presence of the angels. There's joy, real joy. In our worship today, before you leave this place, could you not do that? In your heart, he'll hear it. Heaven will hear it. I may not hear it, but those in glory will hear it. And it will be that moment that gives them great, great delight and great joy. Look, there's not much I could do to impress a holy God and a great God. There's not anything of preaching, of prayer, of anything, but I know he does enjoy this when I say to him, sorry, sorry, I come to you and forgive me and cleanse me to do that this day.